We're going to dive into our series in the Gospel of John today. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in John chapter 6. If not, that's okay. We'll have it up on the screen for you, and you can read along with me. We're going to be in John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 22. But before we do that, I just want to remind you of why John wrote this Gospel in the first place. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he says that he writes these stories, these miracles that Jesus did, so that we would believe in Jesus' name, and that through this believing in his name, we would have life in Jesus Christ. That's why John wrote us this letter in the first place, this story of Jesus. And so we're going to read part of this. And last week, we kind of talked about the feeding of the 5,000 and how Jesus miraculously feeds thousands and thousands of people. And in fact, it would have been way more than 5,000, because 5,000 were just the men. That's all they counted back then. So there would have been maybe 10, 15, 20,000 once you factor in the women and the children involved in this story. And so you have this miraculous story of Jesus feeding all these people, these thousands of people, and giving them something they could have never had on their own. They weren't prepared to eat. They didn't have money to eat. And Jesus gives them something that they could have never done on their own. What an amazing message of the gospel of Jesus and what Jesus does for all of us. He gives us something that we could never do on our own regard. And so we're going to dive into this next story. And last week, I kind of shared how John kind of writes in glimpses, right? Like if you're watching maybe a show or a movie, that kind of just gives us like time glimpses. Tammy and I are watching This Is Us right now, and we kind of just get glimpses, right? And we kind of have to piece the timeline together. It's a little bit different than what we would read in a normal book today, that it's just kind of this chronological thing, and we just kind of get glimpses. Well, this is kind of reverse of what John normally does. He gives us the next day, what happens the very next day. So this is the same people we're talking about, the same crowd. And honestly, if we're real with each other, I think we all kind of fall into the same trap that this crowd falls into. They're seeking after Jesus, but seeking him for the wrong reasons. And so we're going to read this in John chapter 22 in chapter 6. So read along here with me. This is what it says. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near that place where they had eaten and the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what signs do we do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our forefathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to him, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me, will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing at all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Kind of a cool encounter that we see that Jesus has with these people from the last section of this story when he feeds these 5,000 people. So we're going to talk about kind of those same traps that we fall into that they did as well. And again, if we're honest, if we're real with each other, I think we kind of all fall into these traps. But before we dive into what that really means for our lives, let's just go before the Father and ask for his help for him to apply this to our lives and for really for us to become more and more like Jesus every day. So let's pray. God, thanks so much for your word this morning. And as we dive in, God, again, if there's something in our lives that we need to change, God, I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray that you would soften our hearts, start working on our hearts, God. We want to be closer to you when we leave these doors than when we came in. So God, help us to do that. Give us the wisdom and the courage and the strength to do the things that you're calling us to do, God. We want to be your people. We want to live our lives to glorify you with everything that we've got, Jesus. And it's in your powerful name we pray. Amen. Anybody like extreme couponers out there? Do you stack coupons? You ever remember that show? I think it was on TLC maybe, that people just like these extreme couponers, like they'll fill their cart with hundreds of dollars of stuff and they'll go up there and it takes about a half hour to check out because they're like, I got a coupon for this and I got a 4 coupons for that and 8 coupons for this and a dozen coupons for that, right? Like they leave the place and they'll only pay like $5 and they have like $100 worth of food in their cart and you're like, that's crazy. That's like my dream someday, except you kind of have to be organized to do that, right? Like if you watch the show, they literally have like binders full of coupons and they're going through this. I'm not that organized. I'm going to be completely honest. I just really like free stuff, okay? Anybody with me there? You like free stuff? I have an embarrassing story to tell you. This last Christmas, so just a couple months ago, I got about $50 in Taco Bell gift cards, okay? And I, if you don't know me, like Taco Bell is like my love language, okay? I love me some Taco Bell. Exhibit A, okay? You can see, right? Like this is bad. I'm not saying that you should. Like this is, I'm just embarrassing. But I got about $50 worth of Taco Bell gift cards because my family all knows, like, you know, that's a way to Josh's heart, give him a Taco Bell gift card. And I got to be honest, by like the first week of February, it was gone. I went to Taco Bell a lot, and I am not proud of that at all. I'm just, it is what it is, right? And I love me some free food, and Taco Bell's the best place to get that, because like best bang for your buck, you know, it's like cheap. It's like right next to McDonald's, except just slightly, ever so slightly cheaper, and that's why it's my favorite. I just love free food. We love free stuff, don't we? You ever go to a buffet, and you're like, yes, this is awesome. I get, like, you paid, but you're like, if I can eat extra, like more than I would in a normal day, like technically the extra food is free, right? Like it's not really, it's built into the price. They know you're gonna do this, right? Like, but you go to your buffet and you're like, how can I get my money's worth out of this thing, right? Like you say, you look at this and you're like, yep, 4, 5, 6 plates, easy. This is gonna be awesome. And you walk out of that place and you're like, oh, I could not eat another bite, right? I got my money's worth out of that place, right? And you're walking out of that and here's the thing that happens to me. Every time I go to a buffet, every time I overeat, every time like Thanksgiving rolls around, right? You have a full belly. What happens the next day? The next morning, you wake up, and I'm not a doctor. I don't know how this works, but in my mind, like my belly is like elastic, right? And it's like all stretched out from the day before. And so when you wake up the next morning after you ate a lot the day before, what happens? You're extra hungry, right? Like the day before, you're like, I'm not going to eat for weeks. And the next morning, you go, any good breakfast buffets around, right? Like my belly is hungry. Like I'm hungry, right? Like we're just like never satisfied. Like no amount of free food could ever satisfy us. Because let's be honest, we're just going to get hungry again. Now, these people got a lot of free food. Remember last week we talked about the feeding of the 5,000? They ate their fill. And in fact, they gathered 12 baskets of food around them that was just extra. This is like an all-you-can-eat buffet, and there's still food left, right? Like, this is crazy. But they wake up that next morning, and Jesus is no longer there. We have this kind of like cool encounter that we didn't read this, but Jesus like sends his disciples. He goes away on his own and they start going over the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. It's the same thing. So they're going and there's a storm and Jesus comes to them in the night, walks on water. It's kind of this miraculous story, but all that to say, they're on the other side of the sea now. They're on the other side of this lake. And so these people are like, where did Jesus go? Right? Because they wake up, they just ate a huge meal. They're hungry. They want some food. They want their food. And they're looking around and going, man, Jesus got us this free food. We better go to him. And before you kind of scoff at that, like bread is really easy for us to go and get, right? Like, you can go to Kroger, you can go to Aldi, wherever, like, and you can get yourself like a dollar wonder loaf of bread, right? Like, this is, it's cheap. But back then, like, bread is hard to make. Like, have you ever made bread homemade? I never have, but I've seen people do it, and it looks hard, right? Like, they're like pushing it into the countertop and they're like punching it. I don't know how that works. I'm not a cook, but it looks difficult to me, all right? And so to make bread back then, this is difficult. This is time consuming. This is expensive. And so for Jesus to give them all this free food is a big deal. And they're seeking after Jesus because they want this free food again. They are hungry again. And so they're searching after him. And eventually they figure it out, right? They put two and two together. That boat wasn't there last night. So he must have gone the other side with his disciples. He must have somehow got over there. And so they get in boats themselves and they go across the lake and they find Jesus. Now, if I'm Jesus in this circumstance, and people are coming at me like mid-morning, and they're like, oh, dude, we found you. Great. How'd you get here? I'd be like, that's my business. Get away, you stalker, right? Like, that. This is creepy. But these people, they want to see Jesus because they want more food. And Jesus simply says this, right? Because they're like, how'd you get here, Jesus? And Jesus simply says this. Did you catch this? This is like a mic drop moment for Jesus. He says this, truly, truly, which, by the way, this is a big deal when Jesus says this, like this truly, truly. This is a big deal when he says this. It happens here in verse 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you got your fill of the loaves. Oh, man. Did you catch that? Like, Jesus doesn't, he glances completely over their question. How'd you get here? Jesus goes, hey, you're not after me because you believe in me. You're not after me because you have faith in me and because of you agree with what I said. You're after me because you want some free stuff. Jesus just kind of has this mic drop moment. And he goes on. That's not all he says. He says this, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. So he says to them, and he's kind of breaking them from their mentality to say, hey, you know what? I get it. You're hungry. You're after food itself, physical food. You want this. I get that. Here's what I'm going to push you, though. I want you to get the food that endures to eternal life. That's what I want you to seek. And Jesus says, I have that. I have that because God the Father has set his seal on me. And this is a big deal because back in that day, like a king, he put his seal on something. And it was good. Doesn't matter what time it came from. Doesn't matter if the king's dead. Like, the king put his seal on it, okay? That's a huge deal. This is a big deal. If you had something with the king's seal, that's as good as gold right there because they basically it's the king himself saying this. And so for Jesus to say that means that he's equating himself with the Father. And he's saying, I come directly from the Father. And this is what God's saying to you. To seek out the things that are no longer perishing, but to seek the things that endure to eternal life. So Jesus is pushing them past this, just this physical bread. And he's saying, I want to give you something so much better. I want to satisfy your needs. I want to give you a greater purpose in life. I want to transform your life. And Jesus says this, and this is their reaction to this, to him saying this. This is their reaction. Look at what they say. It's in verse 28. What must we do to be doing the works of God? So Jesus has this thing that he says to him. It's like, hey, like I have something so much better to give to you. And this is their response. So how do I get it? What do I got to do, right? Where's the checklist? How much money do I have to pay? What do I have to attend? What do I got to do to get this, Jesus? You see what they're doing? Is they're boiling this down, this message, this life-transforming message that Jesus has for them. They're boiling it down basically into a checklist. What hoops do I have to go through? What do I got to do this, right? And Jesus wants to break them from this mentality. Look at what he says in verse 29. He says this, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. And so these people, they have this checklist mentality, these like, let me jump through these hoops to get this. And Jesus simply says this, you don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to check off any things off your list. It's simple. All you got to do is simply this, believe in me. That's all you got to do. Like, believe in me. And I think we all kind of fall in to a similar trap that these people fell into, right? Like, we try to fulfill our needs with stuff here on earth just like they did. They were hungry. They tried to fulfill their needs with physical bread, right, with food. And they're seeking out Jesus because they know that he can do this for them, because they've seen him do this just yesterday. They've seen him do this. And they're seeking that, and we seek the same things, right? Like, maybe it's not food. Maybe for some of us it is food, but we seek to fulfill our needs with money, with fame, with fortune, right? With the way that we look, with the way that we're perceived by others, with jobs, with our relationships. And we're seeking all these things to fulfill us. And God says, I have the one thing that can fulfill you, and it's a relationship with me. And all you got to do to get it is simply believe in me. And we receive this life-transforming power that Jesus has, this greater meaning and purpose and this contentment by simply doing this, believing in Jesus. And if you're following along in your note outline in your bulletin, that's your first blank, is to say this, to receive these things, to receive this greater contentment, this meaning and purpose, this life-transforming power, all you got to do is believe in Jesus. Like, that's literally all you got to do. And a lot of times we try to switch this, right? Like, we fall into the same temptation that these people did. We fall into the same temptation to boil down Christianity, to boil down our faith into something that's just a bunch of hoops to jump through. That is a checklist mentality. What do I got to do? Like, what are the minimum requirements to get into heaven? Where's my free ticket here? Okay, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to jump through these hoops? When I was in elementary school, they had these things. It was called AR points. I don't know what AR stands for, but there's like these points. And you got them by reading books. It looks like Cam's got them too. So, like, you got this by, like, reading books, and you take a comprehension test on the computer, and then like, you would get these certain points, and you had to have a certain amount of points, like, every so many amount of weeks, you know. And I always looked for the shortest books with the most amount of points, right? Like, what's the minimum way to get my points in? I don't like reading, right? Like, so I didn't want to read anything extra that I had to. So I just want to get the minimum amount of reading for the maximum amount of points. And there was like, there was a system, but, you know, you could pick out books with like extra pictures, because sometimes they wouldn't always like factor that in. They're like, oh, it has a lot of pages, a lot of AR points. You're like, it's got pictures, right? Like, so that kind of those minimum requirements, right? And sometimes we try to do this with our faith, too. We try to say, what's the minimum thing I got to do to get into heaven, to for Jesus to forgive my sins? I'm in heaven. Boom. It's good enough. But Jesus is calling us into something so much deeper than that. Jesus says, you know, I'm calling you to believe in me. He's calling us into a relationship with him. And he says, you want to strive after the things that last in life? It starts by just believing in me. And yes, obviously we believe that if you believe in Jesus Christ today, your sins are saved and you're going to heaven. The Bible promises us that. But he doesn't just leave us there, because Jesus promises us this, that he came to give us life, right? But not just life eternally, a brand new life right here on earth, a transformed life. It begins with believing in Jesus. We receive this by believing in Jesus. But he's going to continue on pushing them to say, I want to see your life transformed right here on earth, and I'm going to do that through you. And so after he says this, the people start to get defensive, as maybe some of us might, right? Some of us might push back when Jesus says, you just got to believe in me. Some of us might push back when people tell us, you know, you got to believe in Jesus to receive eternal life. Some of us get defensive. These people got defensive. Look at what they say to Jesus. Oh, yeah, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe with the work that you perform? Now, they're looking for a sign, right? This is super ironic, because they just saw yesterday Jesus feed thousands of them from one dude's Lunchable, okay? This is crazy, because they're like, yeah, what sign do you see? What sign do you have? If I were Jesus, I'd be like, did you not see what I did yesterday? Are you blind? Do you not have a memory? What is going on? But like, Jesus is so graceful and so merciful, and he does this in our lives too, because we fall in the same trap, and Jesus is so good and so merciful to us as well. But look at this. Not only do they want to see a sign, they give an example. Look at what it says in verse 31. They say this, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them heaven to eat. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So if you're not familiar with your Old Testament, that's okay. Basically, what happened was the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. And so God broke them out of their slavery, and they're wandering around in the desert. And I don't know if you've ever been in the desert. I never have, but I've seen like movies of things in the desert. There's not a whole lot growing there, right? It's difficult to have livestock there because they can't really eat or drink anything. And so what happens is, as they're wandering around, God literally rains manna from heaven. Now, if you're not familiar with what manna is, the Old Testament's description is basically like cornflakes, okay? They're little flakes and they're sweet. I think of that like cornflakes because I like food, but you can think about however you want. Maybe corn puffs, maybe like Captain Crunch. I don't know. You think about whatever cereal, but it's just raining down and it's got all the nutrients that you need to survive. And so they're saying like, our forefathers got this in the wilderness, and God gave them bread from heaven to eat. They got this from God. And so they're pushing Jesus and saying, oh yeah, if you're really from God, you would give us food to eat. Again, ironic, because he literally did the day before. But God, being so gracious and so merciful, Jesus simply says this to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, hey, you know what? That was just a symbol to symbolize what I'm giving to you. I'm giving you something so much better than physical bread. I'm giving you something so much better than you could ever make yourself here on earth. And whatever you can scrounge around to make here on earth, I'm giving you the bread of heaven. And Jesus Christ says, that's me. I am the bread of heaven. I am what's going to sustain you. I want you to think about for a moment what food does for you. You know the old adage, right? Like, you are what you eat. Like, that's kind of freaky to me, like, because I would be a big burrito from Taco Bell, right? Like, that would be kind of weird, and I would look a little bit different, but I guess that's true, right? Like, you are what you eat. And you would think about really what food does for you. As you consume it, you use it to energize your body, and slowly it becomes more and more of you, right? Like, you've ever seen, like, someone, like, super in shape that they're like, yeah, I've been a vegan my whole life, and they're like just super in shape. That's not me, by the way. But like you just see that and you're like, dude, yeah, you've eaten some good stuff. You've eaten some nutritious stuff in your life, right? Because like that's becoming you and it's energizing you. And Jesus is saying, he's playing with words here, but what he's saying is, I am that bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. Let me be what sustains you. And let me become a part of you so that you look more and more like me every day. Single day. It's March, and so if you had a New Year's resolution, there's a 95% chance that you've broken it by now, right? Like, if you've ever gone on a diet, it's really easy to break that diet. But I wonder if we just said for the rest of 2019, what if we just went on a Jesus diet? Like, what if we just said, all right, Jesus, I want for you to be with me and for me to become more and more like you. Like, what if we said that? What if we said, Jesus, I'm going to do that? Because look at what these people say after Jesus says this. They said, sir, give us this bread always, continually. Give us these things. And they're still kind of stuck on the physical aspect of it, but let's focus on what Jesus is really saying to them. Hey, let me be what sustains you. And so I think that second thing, obviously, we believe in Jesus Christ and that saves us. But to really receive this new life, like transformed life here on earth, not just eternally, but here on earth, that second blank in your own outline is simply feasting in Jesus. And that seems kind of weird, right? Like feasting in Jesus, that second blank on your own outline. Like, that sounds kind of weird. It almost sounds like you're like a cannibal or something, right? And in fact, in the first century, like Christians in Rome, like they, like the Romans literally called them like cannibals because they would say things like this. But that's not what they're talking about, right? They're just saying, I want to dive deep into my relationship with Jesus. I want to dive deep into this. So what does it look like to feast in Jesus? I think that means we say, all right, God, I want to dive into my relationship with you. You are what's on the forefront of my mind all the time, Jesus. I'm going to dive into your word every single day, and I want to become more and more like you, because just as you consume food and that food affects your physical body, you can consume Jesus in your soul, and your soul can be affected and become more and more and more like Jesus every single day. And that's what it means to grow in your faith and to say, all right, Jesus, I'm going to dive into your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to join a small group, and I'm going to talk about you, and I'm going to join a Sunday school, and I'm going to learn about you, Jesus, because I want to be transformed by you every single day, and I want for my life to look more like your life, Jesus. I want to become more and more like you. I think that's what it means to feast on Jesus, to consume this continually, as these people are saying. But there's a problem with this, right? You ever go on a diet before? I guarantee you've broken that diet, right? It's hard to stay on a diet. It's really difficult. And in fact, I shared this earlier, but there's a 95% chance if you went on a diet as your New Year's resolution for 2019, you've broken it. Very few people actually stick with their diets. And let's be honest, that's hard, right? And sometimes it's difficult to stick with a Jesus diet as well. Sometimes it's difficult to continually feed on Jesus, to continually say, I'm going to dive into my faith. You ever have this like spiritual moment where you really felt like God was like calling you to something, and you said, all right, God, I'm going to become more like you intentionally. I'm going to dive into your word. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to become more and more like you. And what happens? That lasts for a couple weeks, right? And it's really easy to break that. It's really easy to fall back into your old habits. It's really easy to just become the person that you were a few weeks ago, right? To kind of slip back into the old routine, the old ways of doing things. So how do you keep on with the Jesus diet? How do you keep doing it, right? How do you keep reading your Bible every day? How do you keep praying? How do you keep diving into your relationship with Jesus and growing every single day? Because let's be honest, we're never going to be perfect. We're always going to slip, and we're always going to fall. We're always going to sin. It's who we are. We're fallen individuals. Jesus is perfect and we're not. But I think what Jesus says next to end this, to end the chunk that we're talking about this morning in Scripture, I think what Jesus says next helps us to keep this Jesus diet. He says this in verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So again, he's breaking this mold. He's saying, I am what sustains you. I am what makes you content. Nothing on earth can. I can make you content. You're never going to hunger. You're never going to thirst, spiritually speaking. And, you know, so many times we try to fulfill ourselves spiritually. You know, we feel lonely. So what happens? We get into a relationship that we probably don't belong in. And we feel like we're not good enough. So we start lying about ourselves. Right? Like, we try to fulfill ourselves spiritually, and it never will make us content. Why? Because Jesus made us with a God-sized hole in our bodies, right? And it's only God who can fulfill that. It's only God that can truly make our soul content. And so Jesus is saying this, and he says, he just calls him out. He says, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on that last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son of Man and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what is Jesus saying? Like, how do we keep this Jesus diet? How do we keep diving into our faith? How do we keep from slipping back into our old habits? Well, did you catch what he said in verse 39? You catch what he says there? Look, I'll read this again. He says this, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. Jesus says, I don't lose things. You ever lose things in your life? Like, I lose everything. In fact, like, if you look at my keys here, I literally have to clip these to my pants, Like, I will lose them. I've locked myself out of my car, I don't know how many times, probably 20, 25 times. The week after Tammy and I moved into our house, I locked myself out. I didn't break into my own house, right? Like, I lose things. We all lose things. It's an epidemic, right? Like, we lose things. We're feeble people. We're fallen. Even if you're not good, or I'm sorry, even if you are good at not losing things, what happens? You still lose things occasionally. You know what Jesus says? I will never lose anything. And if you've come to Jesus, Jesus promises this. It's okay. I'm not going to lose you. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to lose you. So what is, essentially, what is Jesus saying? What is he saying here? How we not slip back into our own ways? What insight does he give us? Well, I think we got to focus on his power, because so many times we focus on our own power, right? It's my own will. That's like what breaks diets, right? It's all based on willpower. And eventually your willpower says, go to the Taco Bell drive-thru, right? Like, that's your willpower just breaks eventually. And that's what happens in our faith. If our faith is all built around behavior management, if our faith is all built around, I'm never going to sin, I'm going to be this great person. If your faith is built around, I'm going to be a great person, I'm going to read my Bible every single day, I'm going to read 3.5 chapters so I can read the whole Bible in a year, it's going to be great, I'm going to pray for an hour every day, and it's all based on your willpower, I guarantee you it will not last. Because our willpower is feeble and fallen. You know whose power isn't, though? The power of Jesus Christ. And so how do we receive this greater contentment in our life? How do we receive this life-transforming power? Well, I think it's the third blank in your note outline is simply just to do this, to rest in Jesus, resting in Jesus. If you were to rest in Jesus, when your willpower doesn't make it, God's does. And even when you fall, because let's be honest, we're going to sin. Even when you do sin, you don't have this mentality like you do with a diet, right? You ever fall on a diet? You ever slip back? You're like, oh, I ate that whole pizza, right? Like, it happens with me, okay? And you ever do that and you're like, oh, well, you forget about it. You know, I might as well just go to a buffet. I'm done. My diet's broken. You know what, though? In your faith, that can happen if you rely on your own willpower. If you rely on Jesus' power, even when you slip and you mess up, you go, thank you so much for your forgiveness, Jesus. Thank you, and I'm going to rest in your power to forgive me, and I'm going to rest in your power to restore my life to you, Jesus. And when we simply just rest in his power, say, God, you are the one transforming me. You are the one sustaining me. You are the one giving me what I need to be content in life. You are my true satisfaction, Jesus. And we simply rest in his power. When we do this, we just rest in his power, we receive that ultimate contentment, right? Like, you ever just wake up in the morning and you're like, there's no more peaceful feeling. You're just waking up and just saying, God, it's all for you. My whole life, it's completely for you. 100% for you, Jesus. All for you. Nothing for me. You ever worry about stuff? You ever get anxious in life? I think if we were to really look at what's making us anxious and worrisome, I think, like, a lot of the cause of that is to not rest in Jesus. Now, I get it. Like, a lot of us, like, if you struggle with this, you may have chemical imbalances in your body. I get that. I'm not telling you at all to stop taking your medicine. Please continue to do that. But I think what's important is that in addition to that, we look at what's the root cause of this worriness and what's the root cause of this anxiety. Because I think so many times we put things on ourselves, right? We say, I got to be perfect. And I got to do this just right. And it's all relying on our power instead of simply relying on Jesus' power to say, God, if this is the way you want it, I will be faithful. Even if that's not exactly my will, even if it's not exactly my own preference, God, I submit to you, God. And I just put my life in your hands and I rest in you, Jesus. I wonder how our life would look different if we simply did that. If we simply rested in Jesus' power to fulfill our needs and to sustain us. So I think we receive this by this contentment that Jesus is talking about by simply doing this, believing in him, feasting in him, and resting in him. and it's all focused on him. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Let me sustain you. Let me sustain you. So this morning we have an opportunity to do this with communion. The night before Jesus was betrayed, he's with his disciples. They call this the Last Supper. This is the Last Supper that Jesus had before he died on the cross. And he took some bread and he broke it and he passed it around to his disciples. And he said, eat this in remembrance of me. And that it's broken just like my body is. Consume this in remembrance of me and what I've done for you. In the same way, then he took the cup and he passed it around. And he said, this represents my blood shed for you on the cross. Drink this in remembrance of me. And as a church body, the Bible tells us that we are to do this as well, that we are to partake in communion. And so those who are serving and helping out with that, I ask that you come up now. And they're gonna go ahead and serve the worship band and so that they're taken care of. And as they do, as they start that, I just want to give us some instruction and pray for us all. The ushers are going to come forward when we're ready for them, and they're going to start at the beginning, right at the front of the room here, and they're going to move backwards. Guys, you can go ahead and start giving each other the communion, and then we'll give it to the rest of the congregation. But the ushers will come forward, and they'll release you just so it's in an orderly manner. And you don't have to be a member of Hillside to partake in communion. You don't have to be a member of any church for that matter. This could be your first time here. All we ask is that you love Jesus and that you trust him with your life. And if you do that, we would love for you to partake. We ask that you do partake of this. And what it symbolizes, think about this. When you partake in communion today, I want you to think about how this physical bread sustains your body and gives physical need to your body. And think about this week, what you need to do to go to Jesus and say, I want you to do this for me, God. I want you to sustain me. And I want for my life to partake in you, God. I want for my life to look like more like you, God. Because ultimately, as Christians, that's our goal. Like, that's what we want to do. We want to become more and more like Jesus every single day. And so before we move forward any further, let me just pray for us all here. God, thank you so much for your word this morning. And we thank you for this opportunity to partake in communion together. Father, I just pray that we would no longer search for other things to fulfill our lives, but that we could partake in you, God, that we would just look to you to sustain us. Jesus, would you do that? Would you satisfy us? Would we not look to other things any longer? Would we look past our bank accounts and how others look at us, God? And would we just look to you to sustain us? God, I pray that we would believe in you, that we would just feast in our relationship, we would dive deep in our relationship with you, Jesus, and that we would just simply rest in you as well. God, take all the anxiety, take the worrisome away. God, we submit that to you. We put it in your hands. God, we trust you with everything that we are. Because ultimately, God, you are our hope. Everything else in life is fading away, God. But we trust you and we put our hope solely in you, Jesus. 100% of us in you. And it's in your powerful name, God, we pray. Amen. Hey, the band's going to go up and they're going to start playing softly. And the ushers are going to move forward here. And as they do, if you would just like some prayer, maybe you've never helped out or you've never said that, you know what, Jesus, I've never trusted you, but I want to try today. If that's the case, I would love to pray for you. We'd love for you to partake in communion today. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I've done this 1,000 times, but I've never been able to stick with it. I've never been able to do this. If that's the case for you, I'd love to pray for you again. At any point, don't worry about the ushers. Just come on up here and I'll pray for you. We'd love to do that for you. Or maybe you're just saying, you know what, I really need to think about God's word and what we heard about today. If that's the case, there's some questions on the back of your note outline in your bulletin this morning. There's some questions. You can look at that, talking about this morning's message. Maybe you need to spend some time with those questions. If that's the case, feel free to do that. And we're going to partake in communion this morning. So I'm going to ask the ushers at this point, come on forward. And when they get to you, feel free to get up. Feel free to partake in communion this morning. If you want some prayer, come on up. I'll be right here at any point.